State Sports Network from Learfield, live from CBN Potts. This is the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show, brought to you by Coors Light. Grab an ice-cold Coors Light and a designated driver this game day. And remember that 21 means 21. Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Powered by Ford Trucks. Built Ford tough. Also brought to you by Bank of Colorado. There's only one. By UC Health. And by First Bank. Now live, the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. Here is your host, Brian Roth.
All right, here we go. It's another Wednesday night, and we welcome everybody into CBN Potts. We are in Fort Collins to, well, celebrate yet another Colorado State win. The Rams have won three consecutive games, and they now sit at 5-2 on the season, a perfect 3-0 in the Mountain West Conference. Welcome to the show, everybody. Brian Roth with you. I'm joined by the head football coach at Colorado State University, Mike Bobo. And Mike, congratulations on another win. And I know, listen, wins never come easy. I know they don't. And sometimes you guys, with the job you do, you guys make it look like it comes easy. But wins never come easy, do they?
No, that's why you play the game each and every Saturday. And it was one of those games that I felt going in it was going to be a fourth quarter game. For some reason, I kept telling our guys all week and came out, and I thought we played hard. We just made too many mistakes, but we found a way to win the ball game.
Yep, and again, as we mentioned, you go to 3-0 in the season, and it doesn't matter how you get there. I mean, this is a Ram football team that has a goal. It's to win the Mountain West Conference Championship. You guys have opened up the first three conference games going 3-0. Again, 44-42, the final score on Saturday night at Sonny Lubick Field at CSU Stadium. Rams get the victory over Nevada, and the offense once again stellar. Mike, we've talked about the fast starts for your football team from an offensive standpoint in conference play. It's been amazing to watch it. What do you guys do Saturday night? Boy, you go right down the field the first two times you touch it.
Yeah, I was, again, pleased how we started the game. Two times we had the ball, we scored a touchdown. We got two stops, or one stop on defense. Really two, because then we had the ball the third possession to have a chance to go up again and having positive momentum. And just really great effort by their team of rallying to the ball and getting the ball out with Dietrich. We got to have better ball security. But that was something that they were close to tops in the country and causing turnovers, caused fumbles, and we had stressed it all week, and we had poor ball security. They got it out, and then that kind of shifted the momentum. But, you know, we've been able to start fast, and it's a credit to our guys, again, of understanding the game plan, being ready to play, and going out and focusing and taking advantage of opportunity and jumping on people early. You know, we just weren't able to hold them down, and you got to give their guys credit. They continued to play and continued to fight, and, you know, made it a 60-minute game.
You know, I figured, and we talked about this on the broadcast, that Nevada coming in would have some confidence coming off the victory against New Mexico. And their offense in particular, we felt, probably would have some confidence. They put up 35 points against Hawaii and 566 total yards, learning a new offensive system, game six, game seven. And, you know, this is a Nevada team, I think, that's probably going to put up a lot of points moving forward.
Yeah, I think they've got a pretty good offense. I think they've got some continuity now with Gangi. I think that's how you say it.
Gangi. Yeah.
With Gangi at quarterback. He throws the ball really well. And I think they were trying to experiment at quarterback position, you know, and they settled in on Gangi. And he threw the ball really well. They protected him really well. Number 73 for them is one of the best tackles that you'll see in this league or in the country. He'll be a high draft pick. And, you know, he did a nice job of throwing the ball, and I think they'll be able to move the ball on a lot of people they play. And I said going in, they play hard.
Yep.
It's a new coach. They're trying to find their identity, and I think they're starting to find it on offense in Nevada.
We heard some of their media folks say, and they were relaying this from the coaches, that air raid offense with Mike Mummy.
Matt Mummy,
his dad's Hal Mummy, who invented it, who was kind of the protege with Coach Al Mummy was Mike Leach. And we all know the type of offense that Mike Leach runs. But they said sometimes it just clicks. And there'll come a time this year, they said, that it'll click for that offense.
It was clicking the other night.
It was clicking the other night. You know, I'm curious. I mean, you're an offensive guy. When you put in an offensive system, is there that light bulb aha moment that some of your teams have had?
Well, I think so. I think it's the light bulb moment on certain plays and certain concepts and understanding. And, you know, and when it clicks, I think that gives you confidence, and I think they got some confidence with the win over Hawaii. And then as our game kept progressing and they continued to make plays, I think they got more and more confidence. And you saw a guy that was comfortable in the pocket. His receivers make plays. And, it, you know, like I said, going in before the Utah State game, you know, if we don't put pressure on a quarterback, we're going to have a long day. And we weren't able to get any pressure on him. I don't think he got touched to, like, play 62 when I was watching the film. We never made him uncomfortable. I'm not talking about tackling for a sack, but you got to make him uncomfortable. But you got to give those guys credit. They had a really good game plan. After a turnover, they go with a special play, a trick play, a double pass. And then, you know, when we stop them in the red zone, the fake field goal, right, executed really well. And that's just eye discipline on our guys. You know, we got guys responsible for those guys, and they took their eyes off of them. Sometimes it's eagerness to make a play instead of doing your job. And, you know, that happens. And, you know, the good thing is we get to learn from it, still able to find it. Be able to get a victory.
You know, I've heard you use the term eye discipline a handful of times this week. I was talking to Jake Schlager earlier this afternoon. He mentioned
a bubble pass, a swing pass, backwards. The defender over the number two receiver's got to force it back into the pursuit, but the safety on top of number three has got to key the number three receiver until he blocks. And basically, he just ran, didn't even – sometimes you can stalk, block, and then trigger.
Right.
And it might fool you, but he just kind of eased, went real slow. He was watching our safety. When he saw the safety trigger, he took off behind him.
Yeah,
so our eyes were not good in that instance. You know, you've got number three. That's who you have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we want to get up there. We want to make a tackle on those little swings out to the back. You know, but sometimes those plays are going to go for 6 or 7 yards. You just got to tackle them if you're not in the right defense to stop them and play the next down. So that was an example of poor eye discipline.
Right, and sometimes I'm guessing it means, I mean, and why it's going to be important on Friday night, it's sometimes trying to do a little too much. So the safety in that halfback pass,
yeah,
all of a sudden starts coming up because he wants to do something, trying to make a play, but not keeping his discipline.
It's definitely when you play the option. The safeties are guys that got to run the alley, and the backside safety has got to, you know, key the slot receiver to see if he's going out for a pass. And a lot of times you will get over-aggressive, you know, and the coaches are watching that, and then that's when they throw those passes in an option offense.
Right.
And they always are usually wide open.
Yep, that's right. And that's why New Mexico is able to hit the Air Force. Sometimes you'll see them throw the ball 7 times in a game, yet have 150 yeah. yards passing.
Well, all option teams are number – it's usually Air Force, Navy, New Mexico. All the option teams usually have the yards per pass attempt. They're the largest in the country. Georgia
right.
Tech.
Because
when they throw it, they're throwing it deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, catching the defense off guard. Right. I'm going to ask one more question about your defense. What have you seen them out of this week? Because this is a defense that has played well for the most part here this season. Struggled a little bit last week. Can you get a sense of their confidence here this week?
I think we're in a good place. You know, obviously you cannot give up explosive plays and explosive plays for touchdowns. We get, you know, it's been a little bit of our Achilles heel. Early in the year we had that. And we're able to overcome them because we created turnovers. Then we settled down for a few weeks. And then last Saturday had too many explosive plays. But, you know, when we went down 11 there in the third quarter and really sputtering offensively when we came out of halftime, when the offense kind of got back on track and took the lead, the defense didn't give up another point. They gave up some yards, but when we took the lead 44-42, they didn't give up another point, didn't give up a point in the whole fourth quarter. And I wish we would have, you know, made that kick in the fourth quarter or caught that pass and kind of put the game away, but we didn't. And the ball fell back and the game fell into the defense's hands, and they were able to get the stop and secure the victory, which was good to see.
Yep, absolutely. And, in fact, I went back and looked at it was a little bit over 18 minutes of game time, the final 18 minutes of the game that you held Nevada scoreless.
Right.
And able to pull off, again, the thrilling and exciting 44-42 win over the Nevada Wolfpack. Again, with the win, the Rams go now to 5-2 on the season, and they go to 3-0 in conference play, a big game coming up on Friday night at New Mexico. We'll take a timeout. Stay with us here tonight. We're at CB and Potts in Fort Collins at Coors Light.
Welcome back here tonight to the
Coors Light Colorado State Coaches Show. We are live at CB and Potts here in Fort Collins. Great to have everybody with us. Brian Robb. Your host, the Rams, sitting at 5-2 on the season. 3-0 in conference play. Again, a big game with New Mexico coming up on Friday night. All right, we continue to take a look at the last game that's presented by Bank of Colorado, where CSU is more than just a school, and the Rams are more than just our team, and Colorado's more than just our state. It's our state of mind. Bank of Colorado, there is only one. Again, 44-42, the final score of that game Saturday night, a late kickoff at Sonny Lubick Field. Rams pull it off, and once again, Mike, your offense was terrific, and you know, I feel like we sit here and talk about Michael Gallup each and every week, but it's hard not to. I mean, 13 catches, 263 yards, three touchdowns. I mean, I'm running out of superlatives to the adjectives to describe him on the radio broadcast.
I thought that was the best game he's played as a Ram. Close to the game against Air Force last year, but I thought this was the best because we found a way to win the ball game. And you know, he got us ahead early. We got behind, and then he got us back in the ball game with, you know, making some tough catches, running good routes. Just anytime we needed anything positive to happen, he made it happen.
And the game-winning touchdown, too.
That's true.
Which is his third. And, yes. You know, that's a play. He goes up on the about a little post pattern.
Yeah, it was a little post, and it ended up being they ended up playing like a cover three almost to it, and Nick threw it a little bit behind him, and it made that catch look easy. You know, he makes the catches look easy. Just get it near him, and he's made about every catch for us this year. A lot of times you say those jump balls are 50-50. It's about 75-25 for Gallup right now.
Right. No, it is. You know, I asked you this on the TV show earlier this week, but, you know, he has made such great strides from game one last year to here we are game seven. Where have you seen the biggest improvements from Michael Gallup?
Well, he's always had that athletic ability to run after the catch, because I remember after the first game last year, didn't really get him any passes, but we handed him a reverse and threw him a screen, and we were watching him run around. He really didn't – like, we got to get this guy on the field where he knows what to do. And, you know, once he learned what to do, he's really improved every week, but I think he's improving in his route running, his understanding of what we're trying to do offensively has helped him elevate his game just because of the understanding of the offense and the ability to run better routes.
He seems to be gaining confidence each and every week, and that sounds obvious, right? But we had him on the postgame radio show, and our sideline guy, Mario Cesari, asked him, you know, when did you feel like you could just take over the game? And he said, the second I walked on the field. I mean, is it wide receivers, the good ones? I mean, they have to think like that.
No, you want guys with a mindset that they're the best on the field. You want guys that want the ball. I don't want anybody that I'm looking, trying to encourage to get on the field or say, hey, you know, get ready. I want guys that want it and are upset when they don't get it. That doesn't bother me. And he's not a guy that gets upset, but he does want the ball and he does want to make a difference.
You were asked this question on Monday, I believe, and you know, it's something we've talked about. How do teams defend Michael Gallup? And it's kind of a catch-22 for him, isn't it? If you roll the safety over the top, there's one less player to defend against the run. How have you seen teams defend you guys in regards to Gallup, and how does that affect the run game?
Well, when we're in our two-back set, most teams want to roll the safety down weak to help with the run game and then try to get underneath and help Gallup in the pass game. And when they're in our one-back stuff, a lot of people like to play some cover two over the top of him. So it's kind of a catch-22. When we're in our two-back, we do a pretty good job of running the ball. And if you got to get that safety in there to get the extra hat in the box, and when you do that, you leave one-on-one opportunities with Mike, and he's been able to take advantage of that. Then the one-back stuff, people try to roll a guy to him, and then that's where Dawkins has had a lot of his runs in the one-back offense.
Yeah, is that I guess I'll ask you this. The 13 catches last week, how many times did he see one-on-one coverage?
He saw it a good bit. Well, it looks like one-on-one because it's just a corner because the safety was down the box and would try to cut underneath and help. And we'd either throw an out route and he couldn't get under it in time, or then we'd throw a skinny post when he was trying to get underneath the out. And a lot of times they're playing single high to get another guy in the box, and they tell the deep safety to shade toward Gallup, mm-hmm. where, hey, we got four receivers going out of routes, but you helped toward Gallup. And a lot, we saw that a lot of that last week. But Nick did a great job with his eyes, holding the safety to the last minute and then throwing the ball to Mike. And Mike made a lot of great catches.
Right. And you know, the 7-yard fade pattern to him looked like one-on-one coverage. And it looked like a play where, I don't know, was that a run play that Nick changed out of? You guys were up 7-0 at the point.
Second touchdown,
right.
Yes. It was actually a kind of a run play to the field. Nick checked it to a run play to the boundary. They checked the checker. Then he checked it to a max protection fade. And everybody got on the same page, executed, and Nick threw a good ball, and Mike made a great catch.
See, that's the great thing about football. It sometimes, as a fan, we're up there, and you just don't see those type of things as a fan. But all the little chess matches that go into the game these days at the line of scrimmage.
We combo about every play, and we had a run. The adjustment to that run was a run to the weak side. Nick properly adjusted and called the run to the weak side. And then when they changed and had that stopped, we have what we call a trump card. And trump card is Nick's card to trump the play that
right.
I called
right.
and call, you know, something. And I trust this kid to get us in the right play. He checked to a max protection, threw a fade to Mike for a touchdown. And, you know, not every quarterback's always got the trump card for every play, but Nick has it now because I trust him. He's did it a couple times the last few weeks, and it's all been positive plays.
That must be a lot of fun for the guy calling the plays on the sidelines. When
it is when you call a play, and you're like, we're talking like this in our headphones. We're like, okay, he's going to check to this run, and you see him check, and you're like, oh, he's killing it. I hope he's going to this. And he went to it and threw a touchdown, and we're like, you know, great job, Nick.
Yeah, that is awesome. And again, it shows just how cerebral and smart Nick is back there.
Well,
and of course,
it's his third year in the system. He understands, and then you've got a lot of experienced guys around him. And then you know you got to give the guy trust that you believe in him and let him go out there and do it. And he's very confident in what he sees right now and understanding our offense.
All right, a couple more thoughts on the Nevada game, and then we will move on moving forward. Again, 44-42, the final score, Rams over Nevada. We'd be remiss not to talk about Dalen Dawkins and the run game. We spoke about it earlier this week, but I thought the 59-yard run, when you're down 11 late in the third, was the momentum play to kind of get you guys going offensively again.
It was huge. You know, we were in a four-wide receiver look, and I had called that formation to try to get a quick pass to Michael Gallup, and they ended up they walked a guy out, so I called the zone run, you know, kind of because they were trying to cover Gallup into the boundary, and our guys executed perfectly blocking the five-man box. Kobe Mix did a great job on the left side. Dietrich Clark did a great job in the slot blocking, and then Dalen got the crease and split the safeties, you know, broke a tackle and probably had 40 yards after contact. Just a huge play. Dalen's been awesome for us in the conference games. You know, so proud of him. He's one of my favorite guys. He's going to have a big year for us. He's already had a big year for us, but he's going to continue to make a lot of plays for us.
Yeah, I think he has close to, 450 yards now running in the first three conference games. And I keep describing him like this, but, I mean, he is a violent runner.
Yeah, he's 175, 180 pounds, but he hits it up in there hard. He never flinches. He runs hard, and it doesn't look like he's going to get out of there. Next thing you know, here he comes. He's squirting out of the pile and getting positive yards. And just love. He runs hard. He's our best pass protector. He's physical. Pound for pound, toughest guy on our team, hands down.
Yep, Dalen Dawkins has been a joy to watch. And, again, a lot more games to watch D-Doc go and perfect his craft coming up here in the next month and a half. All right, we'll take a timeout. More to come here tonight on the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. We're live at CBN Potts in Fort Collins. Welcome back here tonight. CBN Potts, the place to be on Wednesday evenings if you're a Colorado State Ram football fan, or if you like great food. We're going to be here each and every week throughout the duration of the season talking some Colorado State Ram football. Ryan Roth back with you as Colorado State sitting at 5-2 now in the season. They are 3-0 in Mountain West Conference play, and they're going to be right back on the road this Friday night. A late kickoff, 8:21 the kickoff in Albuquerque. As they'll take on the New Mexico Lobos. We'll talk about the Lobos here in just a moment, but just a reminder, if you have a question or a comment for the coach, you can hit us up on Twitter. We're at CSU Rams Radio, and we'll do our very best to get your question on the air. We'll go to Twitter right now, and This one is, let's not go from Joe. Let's go from this table right down here. About that. This is Mike right there drinking the iced tea there. All right, Mike asks, of course, you're facing a triple option team here this week in New Mexico. If the triple option is so effective and it's hard to prepare against, why do more teams not run it?
That's a good question. I grew up in the triple option.
You did?
My dad was...
And you were a quarterback in the
triple option. He had to change the offense so his son could play because I wasn't athletic enough to run the triple. We grew up, it was all, you know, it was the triple option as long as I can remember. And I've always, you know, watched the great teams of Oklahoma and Alabama when they used to run it.
Yeah, Nebraska with
Tommy Frazier and all those guys. And, you know, I think the game's just kind of, you know, evolved. And really teams are running triple option out of spread sets with zone reads and RPOs now is kind of the option that they do. And I think it's more of, what game is being played at the next level, all right? And kids' aspirations are to play at the highest level, so they want to go somewhere where they can see themselves playing at the next level. And not that you can't get there playing in an option-style offense, but it's more attractive to recruit to a system that they see themselves playing at the next level. And then it's selling tickets, and people like to see the ball in the air some. And it's just philosophy. There's a lot of different ways to do it. You know, people are doing a lot of option principles out of the shotgun now. The ones that are truly committed to it, the Air Forces, the Navies, the Georgia Techs, you know, that's what they do. They recruit to their system, and they're pretty successful at it.
Right. And it kind of, at some places where you don't get it quite the amount of athletes, it can level the playing field a little bit. Air Force does that a little bit.
Definitely the academies and, teams where they feel like maybe don't have the strongest recruiting base, and this is a chance for us to compete, you know, because it's pretty much an equalizer.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting, Mike, you look at it from the basketball point of view and look what Air Force runs basketball-wise. They run that Princeton offense where there's a lot of back cutting. They're going to be passing it around. And again, it's a way to kind of equalize. I think Georgia Tech's the only Power 5 team that's running the triple option, right? In the run-heavy form?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then, again, you mentioned the Navy, Air Force, New Mexico. There's still a handful of teams. Mike, thank you. I appreciate that. All right, from Twitter, this is from Dave, and he was asking about penalties last week, and how do we clean those up?
We got to be more disciplined. The defensive pass interference, we got to learn to get our eyes back. You know, there's a lot of contact and when you play man-to-man, you know, and that's just every game, every team, there's contact. And usually what official looks for is that defender, as he gets his head back and tries to make a play on the ball. If you're having contact and you never get your eyes back, they're usually going to call pass interference. And so we had several of those. We had some false starts offensively that really killed some drives. And that's just being disciplined and staying on sides. Our guys are trying to jump the cadence. In timeout, Nick, and it could have been he was changing his cadence to check some plays or slowing it down, but we got to do a better job of that. Some of them were effort, but some of them were just self-inflicted wounds, offensively false starts, you self-inflict yourself and you get behind the chains. Now it's first and 15, it's harder to convert, but 11 penalties is way too many. Put you in a hole, and it's a harder to chance to succeed when you got that many penalties.
Yeah, some penalties are easier to take as a head coach than others, aren't they?
Yeah, playing aggressive, and, you know, sometimes the pass interference is going to happen. You're playing aggressive. Sometimes a hold is going to happen, you know. But jumping off sides, those are the, you know, late hits or personal fouls. We had a personal foul late hit on a special teams play, you know, well past the whistle. Ended up giving them 50, where they should have had the ball on the 20, they have it on the 35. You know, those are things that, you know, we do not like as coaches, and our team doesn't like that we got to correct.
All right, back to the Twitter here. And, hold on, let me get my phone. My phone went dark on me here. All right, we'll get back to Twitter here in just a moment. It's technology, Mike.
Yeah.
It's our, you know, one thing, and I wrote myself a note after the Nevada game. I wanted to ask you about Adam Prentice. He's a kid that doesn't get a lot of pub because he doesn't run the ball. He had a catch for you against Utah State.
He had a catch.
But he's your fullback when you go the two running back set. And I know he's a kid you liked a couple. Was it 2 years ago when he tore his ACL? But tell us a little bit about Adam Prentice and what kind of football player it takes to be a fullback.
Well, Adam Prentice was a walk-on. He's a kid that came here from California and knew that we were going to run a pro-style offense and wanted to walk on and play fullback. We redshirted him 2 years ago. Last year, he worked extremely hard. And in fall camp, I wanted to award the guy a scholarship, so we awarded him a scholarship. 2 days later, he tears his ACL and missed all of last year. But this guy is the hardest worker on our football team. Most conscientious kid, wants to do everything right, and he's very unselfish. And fullback is the most unselfish. He's an offensive lineman.
Right.
Offensive linemen get no credit. They don't get to touch the ball. That's what a fullback is in our offense. He's basically our sixth lineman. He's like a pulling guard. And Adam does a great job. He's a guy that will be, a team captain one day on this team. There's no doubt in my mind because the way he carries himself on and off this field. Does a great job in that running back of being a leader in that running back room, of being a leader in that room.
I'm guessing if you don't have a fullback you fully trust, we don't see Colorado State and a lot of 22 personnel this year, right?
No. And we were, last year when he went down, we had to move Nolan Peralta, who was a tight end, to that role, and he did a great job at it. And this year we've got Adam Prentice and Nate Reichen, who both have done a pretty good job for us.
Yeah, Prentice wearing number 46 and Reichen, I believe, wearing number
45.
45, right. Okay, let's get back to the Twitter here. Another question. This is from some guy named Ryan Williams. Is it true that the coach's wife is better at cornhole than he is? Sorry.
It depends on who's her partner. If I'm her partner, we usually win. If she's Williams' partner, she loses. That's how it usually goes.
I had to get that one on. Coach Williams.
He can't take it that he's not center of attention. He's always looking for attention.
Oh, you should have seen him out there before the game. They had the Hooptoberfest out there with the two basketball teams. All he was up there yucking it up. I mean, it was like he's a stand-up comic.
He's always like, why do they ask me to do this? He's like, you're the one always grabbing the mic, wanting to talk.
All right, we appreciate that.
He does a great job there, doesn't he?
Yeah, they've won a few games now.
Yeah, he reminds me all the time how many championships he has.
Well, you're going to be hot on his trail after this year, Coach. We can feel it. All right, we'll take another time. More to come here tonight from CB and Potts. We're back after this. The Coors Light, Mike Bobo, Coach's Show on the Colorado State Sports at CB and Potts. Brian Romp and Head Coach Mike Bobo back with you. Let's get to the injury report presented by UC Health. With more clinical trials and advanced treatments than any other health system in the region, game changers in medicine. They're at UC Health. All right, Mike, how'd you guys fare? How'd you get out of the Nevada game?
We got out pretty good. You got the usual bumps and bruises. I know I say that every week, but, it's a physical game, football, and we're playing on a short week. So that's a big concern of mine, that are we going to get back and be completely healthy. But they playing on a short week, too. Dalen Dawkins is a little bit banged up, but I think he'll be ready to go. Missed, I don't even know what's the Wednesday, so he missed it. Monday and Tuesday's practice, he was out there but kind of, didn't do a lot. But I think he'll be good to go. We'll see tomorrow. Up front, we're getting closer to healthy. Colby Meeks is a little bit banged up, but he'll go. Defensively, I think everybody's ready to go except for Toby McBride, who's still out.
Right, with those back issues, and that's just a timetable that we just don't know about.
Right.
You guys – Game gets over 12:04 on Saturday night. You guys have a short week. Did you guys come back on Sunday?
We did. We came back Sunday afternoon, late afternoon. Had a team meeting, put the game to bed, went over the tape, made the corrections, introduced New Mexico, went outside for about 45 minutes to an hour to introduce the game plan and a short walk-through, jog-through type practice, and then came back on Monday. And practice Monday and Tuesday, had a walkthrough today, and then we'll practice tomorrow before we leave to go to New Mexico.
Yeah, Rams will fly out tomorrow afternoon, a little after 4 o'clock, and then again the game on Friday night. You're going up against this triple option attack, but you have a lot of guys that played football for you last year. Does it help to have an experienced defense, guys that have played against Air Force, played against New Mexico in previous years?
It most certainly does. It helps that you've went against this defense. You understand what the game plan is going in. You understand the responsibilities that you have, no matter what scheme you're playing. Who's got the quarterback? Who's got the dive? Who's got the pitch? Where your eyes have got to be. It helps that Marty English has been in, been the DC here, been the DC at Wyoming, was at Northern Colorado, and they used to run the option. So he's faced a lot of these teams for a number of years and understands how they try to attack you. So I think we'll be able to make some adjustments in the game. So, but it's always hard getting ready for it on a short week. It's hard getting ready for it on a regular week. We'll be ready to go. And like I told our team, they got a short week too. They got to get ready for us.
Yeah, I know. I used to talk to the defensive coordinator at Colorado State. It was a gentleman named Larry Curry. He's now over at UNC, and he always used to say, when you're playing against the triple option, I mean, the first and foremost thing you got to do is stop the fullback. Just because that's where it all starts. And if you don't stop the fullback, now that, it's more talking about Air Force, and I'm not sure how.
Yeah, you're sitting there saying, I'm like, which one's the fullback when they're motioning them
right.
all? But the dive right. back.
The dive back. The dive, right. back. The dive back. Because if you don't stop that, then you're not going to stop them, is kind of the way it is. If you don't stop option one, you're not going to stop option two, three, and four. You get Air Force next week, though. So, yes, short week against New Mexico, but then you get back-to-back triple option teams.
And it helped us last year. It helped us when we played Air Force first and New Mexico second. The improvement defensively was dramatic. I don't think it was just part of it was seeing it, and then part of it, I thought we played with better effort. Mm-hmm. And we got to play with great effort Friday night. You got to play your responsibility, but a lot of times option teams don't block the backside guys. So it's effort and hustle and getting a guy down on the ground, and it's about patience. They're going to get rushing yards, and sometimes it's deflating, when teams run the ball on you and they get first downs and they run it three times in a row, and you're like, why can't we stop? We got to keep being patient. We got to line up. We got to play our responsibility, and then we got to win the possession downs. We got to try to get them in the third long. We got to get them in the red zone. We got to hold them to a field goal. We got to have patience and don't do anything out of character and get undisciplined. And then you got to have patience on the offensive side of the ball because you're going to have probably two less possessions. Mm-hmm. So if you get down or you get behind and you don't need to rush things, you need to be patient and stick with your game plan. That's how they get you a lot of times. You get impatient and then you make a mistake, and the next thing you know, you're in trouble.
That goes for the play caller too, right?
Yep, that's what I'm saying. I'm teaching myself patience right now, which I thought I tried to have the other night.
Yeah,
patience in that game. Mm-hmm. Down 11, I did like the run with Dawkins. Right. I'm like, we don't need to get impatient. It was a high scoring game, so you felt like the game was about to be over. Then I look up there, I'm like, we're still in the third quarter, middle of the third quarter. We got plenty of football left.
Right.
And that's what I kept telling the guys. I'm like, we're just gonna keep running our game plan. We're going to be fine, and fortunately we were.
So what do you make of this New Mexico team as a whole? Again, it's a team that comes in 3-3 in the season. They're 1-2 in conference play. They put 56 on Air Force a few weeks ago, had a big road win in the non-conference at Tulsa, who just destroyed Houston, who's a good football team. But they're coming off a 38-0 shutout loss at Fresno State.
Yeah, New Mexico has athletes. They have skill that can – is very fast offensively. Defensively, they run a stunt blitz team and will play cover zero. They're not afraid to put themselves out there and go after the quarterback or to stop the run game. They put 50 what on Air Force? 58?
56
or
yeah.
58. I mean, they beat Tulsa, who you said, like you just said, just destroyed Houston 45-7. I think it was just one of those days for them. They didn't play that well. Fresno hit three. I think they completed 12 or 13 balls for like 300 yards. They hit three huge plays offensively, deep balls that kind of sprung the game open. And Fresno's playing really good defense right now. I think they're 1 or 2 in the conference in defense, just doing a nice job. And it was one of those days for New Mexico. But I point out to our team, last year we played this New Mexico team and played pretty well and beat them pretty handily. The next week they played Wyoming and got the win against Wyoming in handily fashion that week. So what I'm saying is they know how to handle adversity. They got a little bit right now, but this is a bowl team. Won eight or what they win 8 or 9 games last
nine
year.
Nine games, right?
Nine games last year. They've got pride. They're going to be ready to play, I guarantee it.
Yep, and they're coming back to their home stadium in front of their home crowd. And you know, and I mean, you've been on teams where you've come away from a game where nothing's gone right. And
yeah.
You probably can't wait to get back on the
field. No, I've been there. You know, sometimes we like to look at scores and think, you know, well, that's what that team is based on a score. You know, I mean, bottom line is you win or you lose the game. They lost the game. You know, do you want to get beat 38-0? No. You know, but if you get beat 38-37 or 2-0, you still lose. All right, you got to go back and you got to regroup and you got to go to work, and that's what they're going to do. I mean, I've been on teams where we got beat 35-7 and finished number 2 in the country, 5 yards away from making a national championship. I mean, some days it's not your day. Nothing goes right. But as a coach and a player, you just go back to work, and that's what they're doing, and that's what we're doing.
Yep.
You know, 44-42. You know, a lot of people want to look, what happened in the game? At the end of the day, we won the game. All right? We won it. We correct it, whether we win or lose, and then we go back to work, and that's what we've tried to do this week.
Would you, and I know you're, as a coach, you're apprehensive about every game. I mean, it's just every game is, you know, you're worrying about 8 million things. Would you be more apprehensive going into this game if you guys beat Nevada 44-7 last week?
I mean, it's every week. It's every week. I'm stressed out, you know, making sure that, you know, we're prepared. My coaches are prepared, and then my coaches are preparing the players. And the players have the right mindset. That's, you know, what I'm focusing on all the time is that the mindset should not change week to week no matter the opponent.
Yep.
Period. You know, you got to have the same mindset every week of what we want to say we want to be, and that's a champion. And that shouldn't change no matter the opponent or what happened the week before, the week after, or who beat who, where we're playing. We put the ball down in the parking lot and say, let's play. Our mindset should be we're going to go out there and win.
Indeed. All right, one more timeout tonight. We'll be back, talk a little bit more about the upcoming game Friday night. Nationally televised audience will see the Rams and the Lobos.
All right, we're back
in CBS one final time here tonight, the Coors Light. Mike Bobo, Coach's Show. We're talking Colorado State Rams football tonight. About 3 or 4 minutes left on the program. The Rams and the New Mexico Lobos coming up on Friday evening. Again, nationally televised game, ESPN2 from University Stadium down there in Albuquerque. And then the Rams after that will come back home. Another big home game against Air Force. And, boy, another sold-out game against Air Force. And we got a lot of folks in the building here tonight that go ahead and show that to the rest of the crowd in there. We got a little sign in here. I get the feeling you're not alone on that here. A lot of folks are brave, hearty souls here that that like to see games through. All right, Mike, couple final thoughts as we wrap up the program here tonight. You know, in preparation for a game, I always go back and look at last year's box score. You guys beat New Mexico 49-30. Final game at Hughes Stadium, and a game really that wasn't that close. It was 49-17 going into the fourth quarter. Obviously, you guys had some backups in at that point. But did you realize you guys only threw the football 10 times against New Mexico last year? 10.
That wasn't the plan, you know, because I talked about their quarters coverage and zero coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have some shot plays called, and it was just, you know, one of those games where we came out and played really well and controlled the line of scrimmage. I think we had 3 rushers over 100 yards that game, rushed for 400 yards. And we wanted to control the clock, too, and take the, you know, limit their possession some. And we just played outstanding. And I remember that game like it was yesterday because it was the last game at Hughes.
Right.
You know, we're talking about responsibility this year, but, you know, that was a big word we used that week, responsibility of making the last memory at Hughes a special one, you know, for all Ram fans. And I was really proud of our guys that night. And One of those games we executed really well.
Yeah, you know, you I think as a Ram fan, you're always going to have that memory of that New Mexico game, final game at Hughes Stadium. And I walked out of there thinking that was the most fun I had ever had as a broadcaster doing Colorado State football. And the next home football game, of course, near a year later against Oregon State, I walked out of the stadium with the same feeling. I mean, like, I don't think I could have any more fun at a Colorado State football game. So, again, thank you to you, your staff, and your players, because I know Ram fans feel the same way about that with me. I want to ask you, so you said zero coverage, so which means they're going to play a lot of man-to-man?
It means they're bringing 6 guys mm-hmm. as a pass rush, so that leaves 5 left to cover the 5 eligibles. So they're bringing 6 people. They're playing zero out. Means it's man-to-man, no help. Quarters is a quarter shell. A lot of times it's what we play on defense. And a lot of times you're susceptible to the post and quarters coverage, which You know, you saw our defense give up a couple post throws the other night.
Right.
But it's a chance.
I saw you guys scoring a few posts, too.
We have. But at the end of the day, we got to be balanced. We got to run the ball and take our shots and make sure Michael Gallup gets enough touches.
Yep, that's right. Final thoughts presented by Coors Light. 21 means 21. And, number four. Mike, if you have any superlatives to the way you and your coaching staff describe him, is there any one way you guys call him? I called him a monster the other night, but I can't use that too much.
No,
I'm running out of adjectives for the kid.
He has done a phenomenal job for us, and I just hope he stays hungry.
Yep.
And keeps wanting to come out and play his best game week in and week out because he can still get better.
Yep. And by the way, Nick Stevens, three conference games, 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood. Mike, congratulations.
Nick has played awesome.
Yeah, he's been terrific. Best of luck Friday night.
Thanks, Brian.
Okay, that's head coach Mike Bobo. That's going to do it tonight from Fort Collins. Thanks for tuning in on the Coors Light Mike Bobo Coaches Show. So long, everyone.